Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 8th of December, recording at 9:36 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. This is a re-recording because, rather foolishly, I had the wrong microphone. I had my telephone microphone on rather than my audio microphone. So, all over again. First, the highlights here today. Global stock markets were generally steady, and that was certainly true of Asia, but the best gains by far were in China, all the China indices. Now, the European stock markets, which had closed before Wall Street's late rally on Friday, were quite strong in here today, with gains, well, really from 6% to 8%, and I see 9.5% for Stockholm. Wall Street closed with solid gains of 3.5% or higher, and that's on the heels, of course, of Friday's rally. Wall Street was a bit off the highs, gave up maybe 25% of its gains on the day towards the close, but not a bad performance. Long dated government bonds, they've had these incredible rallies, and we had a bit of a pause today in reaction. Some downside gaps on the UK gilts and the euro bunds. Talking about bond prices, of course. The main feature on the day, however, was the US dollar. Now, you might recall that on Friday that had rallied fairly close to its highs, or was in with it at least within striking distance before selling off a little bit or pairing those gains towards the close. Well, today it fell quite sharply. The US dollar index is at 85.5. The euro is currently up at 129.50. That's up 0.023. And so, solid gains by most of the currencies against the U.S. dollar, except for the yen. That's unchanged, the dollar-yen rate. Now, precious metals were stronger against that background. Excuse me. Silver up 56 cents, although it had been considerably higher at one stage in the early afternoon. And gold up $16 as I speak at 772. We had a good gain of about $55-$60 in platinum, and all the soft commodities were up. All of the commodities in general were up today, at least of the ones I looked at. I've looked at about 25 of them. The exceptions that I've seen were natural gas, which is down, and also lumber. Okay, what's going on here overall? Well, China is the market that we have mentioned before as showing the best prospects in terms of base formation development. It's the stock market that Fuller Money has suggested would lead the next upward move overall. Now, what happened today? Well, it broke above the November high, so it now has a higher high and a higher low. And it would have to fall back below last month's reaction lows to just to question the overall base formation development that we now see. So that was good performance, since all the China indices were similarly firm. That includes, of course, the H shares and the Hang Seng Sing shares. The rest of Asia, more muted, range trading. But if we look around the world, that a lot of stock markets are still trading near or above their October reaction lows. Now, the Fuller Money theme, of course, was that when we had that climactic activity in October, that we would see a mean reversion rally towards the 200-day moving averages. Now, as the 200-day moving averages were coming down, how do you close the gap? And I'm by gap, I'm talking about the fact that the downward acceleration that we saw in October had actually driven many stock markets way down in big overshoots relative to their declining moving averages. And when that happens, when the index or when any instrument, traded instrument, either rallies too far above its rising moving average, best seen as the for us as the 200-day moving average on a weekly chart, or in this instance, falls too far below the declining moving average, that we get some mean reversion. Now, that mean reversion can be in the form of either a sideways ranging pattern or a rally, and usually both. So we've seen mostly ranging activity so far. But I wouldn't rule out the possibility that we get some further year-end rally. Now, on Wall Street, which of course is such a big influence, the Wall Street leash effect remains powerful, as it has always been. Now, Wall Street had broken downwards in November, but did not maintain those declines. So we had downside failures. And you may recall that last Monday, we had a big downward dynamic on Wall Street, and that turned people quite bearish once again. But then Wall Street spent most of the rest of the week regaining most, but not all of that decline. Well, today's gains pushed the Wall Street indices to closes above the highs that we had seen last Monday before that big downward dynamic. So downside failure and steady technical action overall. Now, again, reality check in here. Reversion to the mean is one thing, and we haven't called for any more than just a mean reversion rally through the year end and into the first quarter of next year. And that still looks to be on the cards. But the reality check is that all these stock market indices are still in overall downward trends. Now, that will be the case for quite some time, even if we do get decent year-end rallies, which carry into the new year. Most people are still bearish. If the bears are right, we would need to see closes beneath the November reaction lows at least. Closes beneath the November reaction lows at least. There are also, of course, the October reaction lows, now which are lower in most instances, but not in the case of Wall Street. Meanwhile, as I say, the bulls have at least temporarily regained the upper hand. And interestingly, recently, in terms of market dynamics, they've been more balanced. In other words, we've been getting some decent upside days as well as the big downside days, which are so typical of a bear market decline. But there's been more two-way ranging activity. It would be premature to say that demand now exceeds supply beyond the very short term, but it's a more balanced outlook. I don't have any doubt that part of that demand is coming from short covering before the year-end period. But we also know that there's some value buying taking place out there, and that's not surprising. There's some pretty good values around, not least in the Asian stock markets. I think my own view is that the least attractive valuations are in the US market at this stage, where there's still big downside risks to corporate profits and big question marks over the overall economy. Now, some people may be saying, well, how on earth could we be getting a decent mean reversion rally when the people are talking about a depression, and when the economic data is dreadful, and when corporate profits are being downgraded right, left, and center. Well, my answer to that would be that a lot of it is already factored into the price. And certainly not a depression hasn't been factored into the price, but the fact that people are talking about it shows, well, it's going to be a bear. Somebody with short positions or who's completely liquid who's talking about a depression, otherwise they'd be schizophrenic, wouldn't they? And I certainly don't think we would see anything like that on a worldwide basis. And remember also, we're getting record stimulative packages thrown at these markets, and there's more to come. So, again, I don't feel it's a great shock that these stock markets are steady in here now. But we'll take our cues from the technical action all the way. And really, as we look at that technical, as I say, at the moment, the bulls have gained the upper hand, however temporarily. And for the bears to regain the upper hand convincingly, and well before we would expect to see another down leg to this bear, if that were to occur, we would need to see these markets, stock markets, start to break their November reaction lows. So those are levels that you can watch on the charts quite clearly. And as I said before, and I repeat myself because it's an important point, at Fuller Money we'll be guided by the chart action. We're not going to be telling these markets what they should be doing. Okay, what about these long-dated government bonds? Well, they look overstretched for at least the short term, and due for some sort of reaction and consolidation overall. If the bears are right in terms of global deflationary pressures, and they can make a formidable argument, then yields are not going to rise all that much, if at all, and bond prices, long-dated government bond prices, won't come down that much, if at all, while people continue to worry far more about the severity of the recession and more downward revisions for corporate profits over the next few years. My own view is that there's far better value in the corporate bond sector at this stage. That also comes with somewhat higher risk, but I also sympathize with the view expressed by James Grant. I think he was quoting someone, but you've probably heard the old adage before that the risk-free return that people sometimes refer to in long-dated government bonds can be a return-free risk when those yields are so low. Now, the U.S. dollar, this is really interesting, and we've been pointing out that the dollar rally was looking tired here, and this is an important downward dynamic that we've seen today, bringing this U.S. dollar index down to 85.56 on the close. That's down over 1.5 points. Now, if that takes out, if we get follow-through tomorrow, and it's been mostly ranging, but if we get downside follow-through tomorrow through the close on Wall Street, and if it were to break below, say, 85.90, 85.80, we would be seeing a lower low, and we would have a lower high as well. So that's the beginning of a downward trend. And if we get this dollar weakening in here, and I suspect we will, the question in my mind is whether it ranges further first. But if we get this U.S. dollar weakening, and when people look at the chart, and I will be posting that a little later on, You'll notice people who've been to TCS will notice the rising wedge characteristic that you can see where the it when it was still hitting new highs, that it was not really getting any follow through, so sort of a flat tangent line, and the somewhat steeper line of the higher reaction lows. Well, they're starting to give way, or they're coming under pressure. Other people looking at that US dollar index will see the H&S characteristics, which are certainly also prevalent. But a weaker US dollar, as I've said on so many occasions, would be extremely bullish for commodity markets, and not least the precious metals sector. And if we were to see a meaningful correction in the US dollar, and from as far as I'm concerned, that's only a matter of time, then that would really catapult precious metals higher. And I position myself for that. I have trading longs now in platinum and silver. Well, I had those last week, and I bought some gold in here today. So that's an interesting situation. I think we would see, as I say, we would see a number of other commodities rally. And going back to the gold and other precious metals, you will have noted, if you've been looking in the library or at some of our postings, how well gold had performed when quoted in some other currencies, sterling, for instance. And a lot of the commodity currencies were against which it pushed to new all-time highs. So a significant reaction in the US dollar, significant retracement of its upward trend since July, as I say, really should be reflected in by quite a strong performance by precious metals. But I think we would also see most other commodities rally as well. And I think that's about it. So better late than never. Here's the I will wrap up this re-recording of today's audio. My goodness, more work for the weary. But I'll just wrap it up right here and say all the best to all of you.